You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Tonight I want to minister to you on the topic of how to set up your future for incredible blessings. And when I say that, you know, if you talk to a lot of Christians, they'll say, well, I'm going to heaven and all that. And they're expecting great things in heaven, but not that many people are expecting great things on this earth. And I'm going to show you what you need to do. And it's all about whether you sow to the lower nature or sow to the higher nature that will determine what kind of outcome you're going to get in your life. Amen? Amen. And when I say sowing to the lower nature, I'm talking about the flesh. And when I talk about sowing to the higher nature, I'm talking about sowing in the spirit. That will literally set you up in the future where you'll get exceptional blessings, exceptional favor in your life, exceptional living. Amen. I feel really blessed because I have a wonderful wife that I've been married to for over 50 years. And just that in itself is a blessing. But it's not just that. It's blessing all around you. Amen. So how many are excited about that tonight? All right. Look, if you would, up on the screen, Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to use this as our text. I want you to notice what it says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, what I want you to see from the text is simply this. God is telling us that when you sow something evil, don't think that you're going to get away with it. Don't think that it's not going to come back to you in some negative way. It's going to. And it's not just things that we do that are wrong, but it's also, don't be like so many people who do good things and don't expect great things back. God will always give you a return on the seed that you sow. And we're not talking here just financially. I'm talking about spiritually, sowing words of encouragement, sowing words of faith. Whatever you sow is going to come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, let me give you an example of this in Scripture. In Proverbs 14:12, it says this. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, which ends in the way of death. Now, that verse, what it's telling us is that in the world that we live in, there are many people that think that what they're doing is going to be beneficial to them, but it's not. And I don't know if you've looked around, but we live in a world that is sowing to the flesh or the lower nature. And it all started, I guess, when we took prayer out of schools, when we started to demoralize certain issues. And now our culture is reaping the results of bad seed because we've been sowing to the lower nature instead of sowing to the higher nature or sowing to the spirit. And what you need to see from this is that whatever we sow in, whether a good seed or a bad seed, it's going to catch up to you. It's going to come back into your life. In fact, I was meditating on this, and one of the things the Lord showed me that is so powerful is this, is when the Bible talks about sowing, whether the sowing a word or sowing finances or sowing kindness, whatever it is, that whenever you do that, the return is always much more than what you sowed. And a lot of people, they don't always believe that because there are some scriptures that seem a little vague. Like Paul said, if you sow bountifully, you get a bountiful return. If you sow sparingly, you get a sparingly return. But if you study all the scriptures, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running around, which means that when it comes back, it's always more. So if I'm sowing a word of faith over my family, over my loved ones, it's always going to come back to me more than what I sowed. Are you listening to me so far? So when you look at this, it really changes you because you realize that the seed that I sow, God can't be mocked. If I've been sown good in my life, it's going to come back to me more than what I actually sowed in my life. And here's another clincher. When you sow a seed, it always comes back. Now, some people say, well, I think I got away with it in this life, but in the life to come, it'll come back. No, it comes back in this life and in the life to come. It isn't just in the life to come. It is in this life as well. The seed comes back. And I love the fact that whatever good I do is going to come back to me more than what I sowed. I think of the story of Elisha. He's out. He's on the circuit preaching. And he comes to this one little village. And there's a godly woman there with her husband. They always have him stay with them when he's there. And so she says to her husband, let's build him a little house on the side of our house so that when he comes, he has a place to stay. Now, the thing about Elisha was that's what he wanted. He wanted a place to stay when he was traveling in that area. So she sowed that into his life. And then what does he do? He tells the servant, Gehazi, he says, go to the woman and find out what she wants, what she needs. And she's wealthy. She's got influence with the king and all that. And he finds out that what she really wants is a baby boy that she's never had. Whether she miscarried, I don't know. The reality is it was something she really wanted. So it shows you that she had sown kindness and gave the prophet what he wanted at that time in his life, and she got back much more. She got a boy that she always wanted. Say amen. Now, I know he died, but God raised him back up. Amen? So the story is so positive. And I want you to hear that because if you don't sow today for tomorrow, you won't have those exceptional blessings coming. You're going to have to be a person that knows the power of what you say in faith, the power of what you do in love, the power when you sow a seed, it always comes back to you more, and it'll always catch up with you. Say, catch up. In other words, you're never going to live without it catching up to you. It's going to get to you in this life. Not just in the life to come, it'll catch up. In Deuteronomy, I love this verse. It says that the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. In other words, they'll track you down. They'll run you down. Amen. You won't be able to get ahead of what you did. And I've seen that over the years of ministry, how God has blessed me because of sacrifices I made in the past. And he always catches up to you in your life. Now, Hosea 8:7 says this, talking about people that sow to the lower nature. He says, they sow to the wind and they reap a whirlwind. In the Hebrew, that is tornado. How many know the wind isn't bad, but a tornado is terrible? So what it's saying there is they sowed to their lower nature and they got back a whirlwind in their life. A tornado, something that was destructive in their life. We have to understand that as Christians, we need to be sowing to the higher nature, sowing to the spirit, not to the flesh. And what I'm going to give you tonight is I'm going to show you how to distinguish between whether or not you're sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. Most Christians that I've talked to, honest ones, that are reaping negative consequences, maybe depression, maybe anxiety, maybe frustration, maybe a lack of peace. All of them didn't realize they had sown to the flesh days before or weeks before, and that's why they're in the condition that they are. In our culture, what we do is we just medicate. So if we're depressed, we take some medication. But the source is what we want to get at. Why are we depressed? Why are we anxious? Why are we fearful? Why are we down and out when we've got the joy of the Lord in us? That's because we sow to the flesh. And so what I'm going to show you in my own words is how to distinguish between whether or not you're sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. Without getting real theological, it's what you put your emphasis on. If you put it on life, you're sowing to the spirit. If you put it on death, you're sowing to the flesh. Let me explain what that, when I say emphasis. When someone sows to the flesh, what they're doing is they're magnifying their fear, their anxiety, their regrets, their, how do I say it? All the things in their life that they're angry about or resentment, or have resentment in, they emphasize that. And as they emphasize that, the seed's sown, and it comes back, and it makes them depressed. It makes them feel like quitting, that Christianity is not working, when in reality, it is. Can you say amen, everybody? So the seed that's sown, the emphasis is critical if you're going to sow to the Spirit. Let me say it to you in another simple way. Emphasizing the positive aspects of the good news of the gospel always result in sowing to the Spirit. But if you get caught up on the negative side of the Word of God, and you emphasize that and emphasize that, you're sowing to the flesh, not the Spirit. And I say that because when you sow to the flesh, what are you dealing with? Jealousy, envy, strife, pride, lust. And a lot of people don't realize they're sowing to that until they start getting the consequences from it later in their life. But it's all about emphasis. And when you're dealing with people, especially when they're struggling with areas in their life, you hear the Christian that's offended at so-and-so. And they say, I've forgiven them. But then they talk about how bad it was, what they did to them. And they start to emphasize the hurt, the pain, the suffering that they're going through. And they really think they've forgiven the person, but in reality, they're sowing to the flesh. And that's why after the conversation, they feel terrible. And that's why you feel terrible by listening to it. When you need to tell them, let it go. Just let it go. Because when you hang on to it, you end up sowing to the flesh and it steals the joy. December is one of the worst months of the year for a church because people have so many regrets and so many things in their lives they're upset about. And, you know, if they're divorced, they got to go out and see their kids. And there's a lot of times there's conflict between exes and so forth. And you have that. And then you have people that have died, loved ones. And they get together, where's mom? Where's dad? I mean, you know, where's my brother? And it's tough. But if you want to have an exceptional future, you got to decide, I'm going to sow to the Spirit. I'm going to emphasize the good news of the gospel, emphasize the promises, emphasize the breakthroughs, emphasize the overcoming power that God has in the Word. And when you do that, then God then will begin to send it back to you. And peace will come on you, and victory will come on you, praise God. But it's about who you're sowing to, the lower nature or the higher nature. I want you to lift your hand up and say, I'm going to sow to the higher nature. You got to let all the resentment go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Don't sow to it. You can't overcome it. And I'll show this later. You can't overcome it by willpower. You overcome it by replacement. I'll talk to you about that later. But Paul said it this way, Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, brethren. So he's finishing his sermon. Still had quite a ways to go. But he said, finally, brethren. He said, whatever is true, woo, noble, just, pure, hallelujah, lovely and of a good report. And then he said this. He says, if there's anything that is pray, or if there's anything at all that is has virtue in it or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And meditation means to say the word. Can you say amen? Say the word. And so Paul, you can obviously see from that verse that he talked about a positive influence, emphasis on the truth and the word of God. And let me just tell you, with the list, there's six things, but all six work together. In other words, if you got one of them, you got the other one. They're all together. And he's not talking about factual truth. He's talking about truth from the word of God. How many know truth from the word of God is different than factual truth? Factual truth may be that the doctor gave you a bad report, but scriptural truth says that by his stripes we are healed. Scriptural truth says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven, and God will raise him up. That truth always sets you free. You may be broke. That may be a factual truth, but the truth of the word of God says that if you're a sower, God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, I want you to meditate on these things that are praiseworthy and of a good report. How many know sometimes we get bad reports? Now, being a pastor, I hear this all the time. You know, in blue states, the cities are falling apart, and they are. Red states are better and all that and so forth. It doesn't really matter how bad a state is. What matters is about people getting saved in the state. That's what matters. Because once they get saved, it doesn't matter how bad the economy is, whatever, the believer in that place can be blessed so much that he can change the atmosphere of everything around him, change cultures, everything. Amen. Now, I want you to see something from this because I want to tell you a little secret about the devil. And he's real. And demons are real. They listen for what you say. In other words, there's authority in your words because of what Adam did in the beginning. And there's authority, and Satan is looking for you to sow to the flesh by what you say. How many have ever said this? I'm catching a cold. Don't say that. Say, I'm catching a healing. Not, or how about this one? My back is killing me. I don't need to die from a back problem. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that's not what I mean. The problem is when we create these bad habits, it leads to death. You got to consciously say to yourself, I'm going to start talking in a way that lines up with the kingdom of God, not a way that doesn't. Because here's the beauty about this word. This word, the Bible says, and the word became flesh. That means that Jesus, who is the word, was manifested in the flesh. But this word that he's told us will be made flesh too, if you believe for it and so for it. In other words, if I go to the doctor and the doctor gives me a bad report, if I take this word and I sow it in the soil of my heart and I grow that word, it will be made flesh in healing. And it isn't just with sickness. It's with finances, it's with housing, it's with physical opportunities. Whatever you can grow in the soil in your heart, because you sow for it, it will come back to you in manifestation or in this three-dimensional world if you hold it in your heart. But here's something I want to say. I was meditating on this. The Lord just said, say this tonight. I was originally going to say that your heart is like topsoil. And the Lord corrected me. He says, not everybody has topsoil. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, many people, their hearts are hard. And it's very hard for my word to be germinate in their heart and bring forth fruit. And so I want to just challenge you that if your heart is hard from something that has hurt you or whatever in your life, and you're callous to it, and you've been sowing to the flesh in that area that someone stuck the knife in your back and turned the blade. Start sowing to the Spirit. And your heart will get soft again, and then healing will hit your heart, and it'll be easily grown. Or provision will hit your heart and be easily grown. Because the spirit of a man or the heart of a man is like soil. But some of our soil needs to be cultivated more. Some of our soil has clay and it needs to be broke up. Some of our soil has weeds in it. But if we would just take the time to get in the Word and remove those things, then we hear the Word and get it into our heart, it'll produce the results in your life. Because we're talking about an exceptional outcome of your life where you're blessed coming and you're going. You're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the country. You're blessed on the top of the high rise and you're blessed on the bottom of the high rise. You're blessed in the condominium and you're blessed in the trailer. You're blessed in the, come on, you're blessed wherever you're at. That's what I'm talking about, but it's not going to happen unless you take seriously what I'm preaching here, that you cannot mock God. Whatever you sow to, it's going to come back to you. You won't get away with it. Well, my wife doesn't know I'm looking at pornography. You won't get away with it. It's going to affect you. It's going to come back to you. And it's going to affect the way that you look at women. And it's going to bring a negative effect in your life. And everybody was so excited they came tonight. Praise God. Great message, Pastor. Preach it. Praise God. Come on, ladies. Help me out here. But do you understand how this works? We miss this sometimes, that God can't be mocked. If you sow to the flesh, it's going to come back to you. If you sow to the Spirit, it's going to come back to you. There's no doubt about it. It's going to come back to you. You can't outrun it. You can't hide from it. It will come back to you, and you're going to feel either a positive effect of the blessing, or you're going to feel a negative effect of the flesh in your life. And everyone that loved the Lord said amen. Amen. Let me show you two in a verse that most of you know. Mark 11, 22 and 23 says this. Jesus said unto them, have faith in God, for whoever says unto this mountain, be plucked up and cast in the sea, and if he doubts on his heart, believe the words that he says, he shall have whatever he says. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But I want to ask you this question. Why did Jesus say it to him? Why didn't he write him a note? Why did he say it to him? Because faith doesn't come because it's written. Faith comes when you hear what is written. Faith comes, Romans 10, 17, by hearing and hearing about a word about Christ. It doesn't come just because you read your Bible. It comes when you hear. Either God speak to you when you're reading your Bible, or you hear God, or God speaks to you when you're reading your Bible. It comes by hearing. That's important. And it goes on, and he says, you can remove every mountain in your life if you do not doubt what you say. And the emphasis is three times more saying than there is believing. If you can say it three times more when you believe, you're going to get it. That's what it's emphasizing in the verse. And it says you can remove every mountain in your life. But now catch this. It also means that every mountain in your life is impossible to be moved if you're not speaking to it in faith. In other words, what I say to my mountain, the emphasis I put on the mountain will determine whether or not it is removed or determine whether or not it's unmovable. If I emphasize how big the mountain is, how it's impossible, how I'll never be able to do it, how I'll never be able to get past that point, how I'll never pay off our house, how I'll never pay off the church, or if you emphasize that, it's impossible. But if you emphasize how big God is, and that God's word will work and God will do what he said he will do. If you emphasize the power of faith, the power of speaking to the mountain, if you emphasize what God can do in your life and that the blessing can turn what is negative into a positive, oh, praise God, then the mountain can be removed in your life. So notice the emphasis is critical. What are you emphasizing when you have an average conversation with somebody? Are you emphasizing how bad the problem is, how horrible the problem is, how long the problem is, how far-reaching the problem is? Or are you emphasizing the promises of God in that situation? I know it looks bad, but I'm a giver and God's going to help me. I know it looks like it's impossible, but God will give me strength. I can do all things through Christ. That is going to make a factor on what's coming back to you. The most joyful people on the planet are Christians. But the most joyful people of Christians are Christians who understand this principle. And they don't allow what they see, what they hear, to determine how they believe. They're always speaking a positive thing over their family, over their children, over their church, and especially over Pastor Jack. They're the happy ones. Come on. Now, I'm going to show you something here that's really helped. In fact, let me say it this way. When I got saved, before I got saved, I was always looking in my rearview mirror. Because I was either stoned, or there was drugs in the car, or I was intoxicated, or I was speeding. So I'm always looking in the rearview mirror. It was so cool when I got saved. I no longer had to look in the rearview mirror. Because I knew that nothing negative was coming. I knew that judgment wasn't coming, only blessing was coming. And here's what happens to many of us when we emphasize the negative, we start looking in the rearview mirror. We start looking at, oh, it's going to come, it's going to come, it's going to come, it's coming. So after all, I've been divorced, or after all, I did this. And you start looking at that, and it prevents your faith from giving you the future that you want. You're all made mistakes. We're all a big mistake. But God saved us. Don't get caught up on your mistake. Get caught up the emphasis on what God renews. He restores. He rebuilds. He gives us a hope and a future in our life. Get focused in on that, and it'll drive out the depression because you'll start sowing to the spirit rather than sowing to the flesh. You'll start sowing to the higher nature rather than the lower nature in your life and regret it. Now, I want to show you a very powerful verse. This is one most preachers have never preached. Put it on the screen, Ezekiel. This is a really powerful verse, and it shows you something about the power of God. Look what it says. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquity, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of the land desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like a garden of Eden, and wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Hallelujah. Then the nations which are on the left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate, and I, the Lord, have spoken it. Watch this. And I will do it. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, listen, you may be in a desolate place right now. Many of our cities are ruined. And Christians think, well, it's never going to be that good. No, 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 no. Once the believer starts following God, the blessing is so great that it can turn a ghetto into Eden. It can turn a broken home into a happy home. It can turn a drug addict into someone who's free from addiction. It can turn things into Eden. And most people don't understand that, that God will do it. That the only thing he needs to do is we have to emphasize what he's done for us. He's forgiven us. And we have to believe that, okay, we're going to sow to the Spirit. We're going to sow to the Spirit. We're going to speak a blessing over our family. We're going to speak a blessing over our country, over our church. And God then will begin to turn something that is negative into a very, very powerful situation in our lives. Instead, we talk about how bad it is in Seattle. How bad the economy is. You're sown to the flesh. December's rough because people emphasize the lack of money, the losses in their life. They sow to the flesh. This ought to be a season of joy. We ought to be speaking blessings, not cursings. Amen? And let me show this to you from an example in the Old Testament. You remember the story of Abraham? And you remember he left Ur of the Chaldees with his nephew Lot? Now, Lot was blessed not because of Lot. He was blessed because of Abraham. If you hang around somebody with a blessing, you're going to get blessed. That's the way it is. They got blessed so much, both of their companies were prospering. But they began to fight within each other. And you know what Abraham said? He said, let not there be any strife between us. He knew strife sown into the flesh would stop the blessing. He knew that. He said, I'll tell you what, Lot, you take whatever direction you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction so there's no strife amongst us. And he went, obviously, to the best real estate, the fertile. Abraham, on the other hand, went the opposite way into the desert. Many of you don't know this, but the promised land was not the promised land until the blessing of Abraham made it into the promised land. It was just a desert. But he went that way, and the blessing was so great in his life that it changed the geography in the promised land. It turned it into a land that flowed with milk and honey, but when Abraham first went into it, it was a desert. And you got to understand that maybe you're in a desert right now in your life. And you think, I don't think God can bless us. He can. The blessing is stronger and more powerful than what the devil has done in your life. It's more powerful. He can turn it into an oasis. He can turn it into Eden. He can bring joy back into yourself. He can get that slide back in your glide. He can bless you. But you need to believe that. And keep sowing to the Spirit in your life. This is why most people get saved. They get saved because they've been sowing to the flesh. Their lives are wrecked. They're unhappy. They got this problem. They got marriage problems. They got financial. They got all kinds of problems. So they turn to the Lord because of that. And here's what happens when you turn to the Lord. Oh, it's so powerful. When you turn to the Lord, that which has been coming upon you, which is the result of your sin, is put on the body of Jesus. And it's no longer put on you, it's put on Jesus. And you turn to him, and all those seeds that you sowed in the past with the flesh, all of that is put on Jesus. It's put on Jesus, on the body, on the cross, and you are forgiven of your sins, and God blesses you. Hallelujah. Well, that process doesn't stop. After you're saved, when you mess up, what do? You repent. And when you repent, what was coming upon you goes on the body of Jesus. And those sins and the effects of those sins do not have the power that they had before. And God can begin to turn around your life and turn it around in a great way. That's why most of us got saved. I said, that's why most of us got saved. Now, here's the part that I want you to see that I think will really help you in this area. I talk to a lot of people, and they struggle with this little problem and that little problem. And if you emphasize everything that's wrong in your life, you're sown to the flesh. Let me just say that. If you get together and all you do is examine everything that's wrong in your life, you're sown to the flesh. It's not the Spirit. The way that you repent isn't by willpower. It isn't by saying, I won't do that again, I won't do that again, I won't do that again, I won't do that again. That's not how you overcome. That's being under the law. It doesn't work. What you do is you repent by what I call replacement. You replace a certain way of thinking with a new way of thinking. That's what repentance means, to change the mind. And you change the way you think about it. Or you replace one bad behavior with a good behavior. Or you replace something negative you're saying with something positive. In other words, I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm going to replace it with saying this. And the replacement is the way that you repent in your life. It's not by willpower. That will fail you every time, but by replacement. So, and I see many people, they're struggling with issues, and they go, well, you know, I'm trying not to drink and trying not to get intoxicated, but I keep going back to it, whatever. You got to first change your mindset. Change the way you thought about it. From the Word, with the help of the Holy Ghost. And then change your habits. Get a latte instead. Buy a Coca-Cola. I don't care what it is. Just replace it. But the main thing is to change the way you thought about it. You know, come on, I know you haven't been saved that long. You remember when you were a heathen? You would party on the weekend. I worked hard. I deserved to get a little whoopee, whatever. Or it's all right to look but not touch, you know. That's the way you thought. That was your mindset. You change your mindset and you can change your actions. Hallelujah. Stop thinking that you can't be exceptionally blessed. Stop thinking that there's limits in your life. Stop thinking that you can't move mountains. Stop thinking that way and start letting the Word renew your mind. There's absolutely nothing that you can't do. There's absolutely nothing you can't soar to. There's absolutely nothing that you can't achieve in your life. Praise God, change the way you think and it'll alter your actions in your life. Amen. It's really that simple. But yet, people mess up. Now, I want to say something at this point that I think is important to put out of balance here. When a Christian sins, and they know it's wrong, but they do it anyway, there's always consequences. Always. But the difference is this. If you do something that you know is wrong as a Christian, you're not going to get away with it. You're going to have consequences. But here's what God will do. If you repent, He will, at that moment, give you what it takes to be rescued or survive or win out in that temptation or win out in the consequences where it doesn't completely defeat you. In other words, let me say it this way. It's like if you have a sailboat. I don't know if you know this about little sailboats. They have the big thing in the middle, goes way down in the water. A sailboat is almost impossible to sink because if you take down the sails and button down the hatches, it'll just like a bob. It'll just bob out there. You can't destroy it, sink it. If you repent, God will take down the sails. He will lock up all the windows. Come on, He'll so that you can bob out there and you'll still have to go through some consequences, but you're going to go through it and you're going to win on the other side. You're going to come out a winner on the other side instead of come out a loser on the other side. In other words, it's not going to lead to depression and anxiety and frustration and all those horrible things and suicide. You're going to go through it and come out a winner, praise God. All you got to do is change the way you think. Isn't that exciting? So how many excited about repenting? How many excited about expecting blessings in your life? I'm going to read you a verse, and I don't think I've ever preached this verse before, but it's a verse that shows you the power of blessing yourself. I bless people all the time, but there's a power in blessing yourself. Put it on the screen. This is Isaiah 65. Look what it says. So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Woof. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because of the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes. Do you know what this is saying? It's saying that you can pronounce a blessing on yourself. I like to bless my children. I like to bless my wife. I like to bless myself. Praise God, I'm highly favored. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Are you all with me tonight? Come on now. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. But people will not do that. Instead, we sow to the flesh. When are you going to treat me better? You never get me what I like for Christmas. The bacon's always burnt. That's not the way it works. You sow to the flesh, there's a consequence. I learned this early on when Joyce and I got married because I was still trained by the flesh. And if your wife did something you didn't like, you go, I'm going to teach her. I'm not going to talk to her for 3 or 4 hours. Or if you're really mad at her, I'm not going to talk to you until the next day. And you didn't realize the longer you waited to reconcile with her, the more that little volcano started getting more and more ready for an eruption. And then by the next day, well, you're ready. Okay, it's time. I punished her enough. It'll be fine. And then it took you weeks, months to get it back in the saddle. Can you say amen? Praise God. Because you sowed to the flesh. There were consequences. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants us to be sowers to the Spirit. One of the greatest things that'll steal your future more than anything else is jealousy. But you know, jealousy is a form of unbelief. When you're jealous about what someone else has, it means you believe you can't get it. Yeah? If you can say to yourself, wait a minute, that's sowing to the flesh. I can receive anything that is God's will in my life that I desire if I'm believing Him for it. If I'm following Him, I can do it. Just because they got something great, I can get something great too. Hallelujah. See, one of the things that happens, and I've seen this happen with many people, is that sometimes we desire things that God has not given us a gift to have. And what I mean by that is you may see somebody sing at church and go, oh, I want to be a singer like that. Well, that's great if you have the gift. But if you don't, God will never promote you in that area. You got to have a gift. Or you see some prophet, you go, I'm going to be a prophet like that. Doesn't do any good to ask God for something like that unless God's actually called you to be a prophet. Amen? Or how about you see somebody that's a very successful businessman and makes millions and millions of dollars, I'm going to be like that. Well, you may not have the gift to be a businessman. And so why do you want to pursue something that you're not gifted for? See, God will give you everything that He equips you for. Hallelujah. Everything. I said everything. And the thing I want you to see tonight more than anything else is that your future has been set by Jesus Christ. In other words, He has given you the foundation that you can succeed in your life in whatever you do. Because if you study the scriptures, you'll remember this truth that Paul referred to Jesus as the last Adam. Why did he do that? Because the first Adam had three areas that God gave him victory in. And when he fell, all of his descendants fell. So when the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh, understand Jesus came into this world not as God. He came in this world as a man. He was God. Don't misunderstand me. But He didn't draw from His attributes as God. That's why He didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon Him at the age of 30. Because He was succeeding as a man, a perfect man, so that we could follow His footsteps when we believe later. Amen? So the first Adam had three things. fellowship with God, dominion over creation. Amen? And Eden, which had everything in it that you need to flourish and succeed in your life. When he fell, he was cast out of Eden, no longer had all the provision that he needed to succeed. When he fell, also, he lost fellowship with God. And when he fell, he lost dominion. Jesus came and got it all back. And you have fellowship with God now. You have provision. Peter said it this way, that everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given to you. Why? You're back in Eden. You're back in the Garden of Eden. Everything. You got fellowship with God. You have dominion over whatever you're facing in your life, praise God. So your future can be wonderful if you would sow for it. Not the lower nature, but the higher nature. Yes. Sow to the spirit, not the flesh. It'll set you up in the future for great blessings.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River App, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.